Blog Talk Radio.
Architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a strong one that's sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Again, this is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see, as cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man with HIV, you can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists, so act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys, you can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write, begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Came to this country, we were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded, they heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked, slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces, shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow, they'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing, hold your head up little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be.
Save the children, y'all. The recipe for literacy in the black community live on Tribe Family Channel. This is Beverly Black. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to come before you for another roundtable discussion. This is season 2, episode 5, calling all parents, educators, and homeschoolers to the roundtable discussion. We're airing every Monday through November. We have a makeup show on the first Monday of December where we will be discussing the ABCs of homeschooling. This evening, my guests are author, educator. Oh, my gosh, these queens have a rife history of educating and raising the generations that are carrying the torches, and we need to touch bases with them so that we can get ourselves on the right track, because a lot has truly happened. First and foremost, I want to introduce Gannie Smith-Mathis. She is our sponsor, and we appreciate her so much for honoring us to be able to bring us on the air. You know about Gannie, she has a lot of initials after her name, but in the beginning, Gannie Smith-Mathis began her writing career at the early age of 9 when she kept a poetic journal of her memorable family experiences. Now let's fast forward to the college years, finding her voice. During her journey as a creative writing major, Gannie faced a seemingly daunting challenge while at Carnegie Mellon University, a predominantly white research institution. How to maintain her voice as a Black writer was the dilemma. Then Gannie had the unique fortune of exposure to the work of the late Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright August Wilson when she began to attend the productions of the Kuntu Repertory Theater at the University of Pittsburgh. Gannie will correct my pronunciation, I'm sure, when we bring her on this line. But let me continue. During this pivotal time of preparation for her professional writing career, the late Rob Penny brought Wilson's play Homecoming to a theater production. Shortly thereafter, Wilson and Penny began to mentor Gannie weekly after she began to attend the Kuntu Writers' Workshop. And it's funny because our second guest also is involved in writers' workshops. Writing, reading, that is the first key to education. Even if you're studying math or science, it doesn't matter. Reading and writing is key. That's why I am emphasizing this history. So Gannie begins to attend the weekly, writers' workshops, where she found a collaboration haven with other African-American writers. Years later, she returned to Carnegie Mellon at the request of the leadership of the college. You know, this woman has a rife history. She is going to let us know all about her recommendations as a grandmother, mother, homeschooler, educational consultant, author. Oh, my gosh, just an amazing history. Now, my second guest, Kathy Wright Lewis, she will be discussing Lit for Life and Language Learning. Yes, she also is an educator. In 2014, author and newly retired high school English teacher / teacher trainer, Kathy Wright Lewis, was compelled to combine her love for writing, teaching, and community. She met with curator Miriam Robertson of the Brownsville Heritage House to propose her dream to begin a community-based writing workshop for residents of Brownsville, her childhood neighborhood. As a result, she is now the director of the Power in the Pen Writers Workshop, a creator's incubator space where she supports community authors as she continues to write her own novels and children's books. KathyWrightLewis.com. Danny Smith. Excuse me. Let me let them introduce themselves. I'm going to bring them on right now. Danny, welcome. Kathy, welcome. Queens, how are you?
Peace and blessings.
Just fine. Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Awesome. Awesome. Queens, thank you so much for being here. Danny, meet Kathy. Kathy, meet Danny. And we're definitely going to have to make sure that we connect and intertwine your voices. Kathy will be on A Book Is Born tomorrow, and we're definitely going to have you come back and talk about what you're doing with the workshops and everything next year. But for now, ladies, we are both, we are all bringing our voices together. The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community is my first book, an anthology out of the Gumbo for the Soul anthology series. I started that book because, like yourselves, education is important. I was an at-home mom at the time, and I asked God, sitting in faith, to give me something for my creativity. And I received Gumbo for the Soul, and I added to that inspiration for people of color. Well, to surmise why it became the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community is because we have enough inspirational literature, songs, dance, prayers. We can inspiration ourselves right off the map out of an extinction. But if we don't get education right, we're going to have the same results. So I'm going to start with our sponsor. Introduce yourself to our audience in your words, because I cannot do you enough justice. And give us a glimpse of what is your own special recipe for literacy in any community, because education transcends color. But at the time of the writing of this book, Black children were at a 50% dropout rate in high school and a very low college enrollment rate, and I fought to change these statistics. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, Danny, please speak on it, Queen.
Well, thank you, Beverly, and you did a great job, and there's no need to correct anything you said, no pronunciation, anything. It's all good. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be your sponsor for this evening, and I wanted to also welcome my sister guest here as well. Thanks for joining us, and we're really excited about having you. And I'm old school, so it all goes back to teaching phonics, teaching penmanship. I will never change that story. I believe there is wisdom and purpose in just teaching the basics of reading. You know, we got away, school systems got away from that. And I know when I homeschooled back from 1990 to 2005, one of the reasons I chose to homeschool was because, number one, I really didn't have a choice. Our public school system in North New Jersey had been taken over by the state of New Jersey, so it was really in a bad way at the time. But more so than that, they had taken out cursive writing and they had taken out phonics. And that's just never a good sign. That was never a good sign. And it was also, if you think back, it was around that time when shortly thereafter, the new publication newspaper of USAA Today came alive, and it was in color. And one of the reasons why it was in color was because there was such a high illiteracy rate that people who wanted to at least pick up a newspaper wanted to, have some semblance of of understanding the words on the paper, they could read it. They could easily understand, like, even a map that's in color. You know, the darkest red means it's really hot. And even if they don't know how to spell the word hot, you know, they can kind of pick up things. And so that magazine, that newspaper was really partly addressing an illiteracy rate that continues in America to this day.
Teach queen. Kathy, come on in here. I'm just waiting. I'm right here.
Oh, go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you,
first of all, for having me, too.
I dropped my 2 cents. Oh, no, you are absolutely correct. And I you're making me think back, and I remember how upset we were as an because I was an English teacher. Well, I'm always going to be an English teacher. I retired from the New York City Department of Education in 2013. And so I taught from 83 to 2013, 30 years. And I was still teaching at Mega Evers College after that until right before COVID started. And what always broke my heart was that I would have to teach the same thing that I taught to my high school students to some of my college students. They didn't have basics, you know. So, like you said, the phonics were taken out. I remember at Boys and Girls High School having big arguments and fights with other English teachers who didn't, you know, we were going to teach cursive writing and phonics and everything else we had to do anyway. But those who felt that they didn't have to because, you know, the law didn't require it, you know, and didn't. The children that we sent that prepared because of that was just ridiculous. So we just started doing our own thing anyway. But it's a sad state of affairs. But at the same time, sometimes I celebrate us because we, despite everything that was against us, we still, you know, we went in and broke all the rules and did what we had to do, and I have so many students who have done so well, you know, and they're teachers now too, and they just they understand the fight, the struggle, and that we have to break down these barriers and just do what we know we need to do for our students. But it's time to get a little bit more creative right now, because even the homeschool parents during COVID, and I'm seeing now just today I'm riding around outside, and I, it's 3 o'clock. You don't see kids on the street coming from school. Mm-hmm. There are so few numbers going into the building. So many parents who have checked out, and you know, I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about where the children are. I'm concerned about their education and their state of their mental state. You know, the trauma that they've suffered that's not being discussed, or you know, in the schools they know that you can't just throw these kids in school and think that everything is fine after all this time and everything they've been through, but that's what they're doing. And the teachers are they're quitting left and right. That's all I keep hearing. I'm quitting, I'm done, it's just too much. We have a lot of things to think about, you know. So our kids that are doing YouTube school, you know. Lord, let me come in right there before you make me pass out. She said YouTube school. Queen, wow, so much knowledge and gems dropped in just your two statements. You remind me of two things. Mental health is very important, and tomorrow I will be posting what Gumbo for the Soul intends to do to help parents address mental health and how to root saw and help their children to do so also, but it requires a great deal of responsibility. Now, the last time we were on the air, both of you women just dropped the bombshell that they have taken cursive writing out of the schools. Now, the last time Danny and I were on the air, we were on with author Elise Mims Edwards, and she's dyslexia. And she reiterated that cursive writing is what helped curtail her dyslexia problem.
Yes.
And Danny reiterated about that. So with reading and writing being the basic function, and phonics being the basic functions of education, that parents can start their children off very young to build a strong foundation at home, how also is it important to bring over cursive writing? Like Kathy just said, we have to do things on our own. When they started, you know, discontinuing certain things, you two ladies as educators and college professors and homeschoolers, you know, you take up the whole range. So enlighten us about how important it is to do things on our own, and especially cursive writing, because it helps curtail people with dyslexia. Yes. Kathy, you go first this time.
Oh, okay. I think it is imperative that the parents work at home with the children. Don't rely on the school. And I'm old school also. You know, let's go back to the really, remember the old charts that they, I had the chart going across the top of my classroom, my blackboard, because we had the chalkboard, not the whiteboard yet, and, you know, with all of the letters and how to draw them. And I think that they need those old school, you know, implements to help them to teach it and understand the fact that, and I would tell them all the time, they don't want you to be able to sign your name on the back of a check, okay? So if you don't learn how to sign your name, how you cashing your check, you know, who are you working for, how are you making your money, you know, think about what the purpose is for this particular skill and be able to use it. You want to use every skill possible, not just that. But I also encourage parents to really look at language. We use language, I mean, we can't exist without it. We use language to communicate, and there are so many things that we say and that the children don't understand us and we don't understand them, because the first thing we do is you start creating your own language, a slang or this or that. I think they need to incorporate the language into the writing prompts, let them practice it. The kids love it because it's like art, and it is an art form. Let them see it as an art form, a way of expressing their language, and find means of them to do it, to tell their own stories. That's a big thing for me. I've never lost a kid had one who was disengaged, because I always had them writing about themselves and their families and their communities and things that happened to them in their lives, and connecting that to the world. You start with the child first. It should be child-oriented, whether it's the writing or the reading, all of it. That's my take on it. I think you should implement all of them. Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danny, before you go, let me just remind Kathy. Kathy, you know the person that introduced us is Mr. Bruce Dodge, the creator of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO.
Right, right.
And one of the things...
Mm-hmm.
You're really good friends. He and your other friend are very close, the three of you and the writing, the whole New York vibe and everything, poetry. But one of the things that Bruce always reiterates is the language in which, in the way in which his mother spoke growing up in the home. She always spoke eloquently and used sophisticated language and words to stretch his, you know, literary prowess and really up his game. And that is something that he always, you know, in this day and age, everyone's in their 50s and 60s, but he always goes back to that season and moment of growing up around the language, the books, the reading, the just how you know, she weaved the words, and we're quotologists, so I always say as a quotologist, I weave, you know, I engineer words into quotes. So it's a very, when you mention the use and art form of language, that's what resonated for me. Danny, what resonates for you?
Well, everything that you all are saying, I mean, it's just facts. Can we go back to the whole cursive writing issue?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So they're just studies, right? They're just studies. This is not conjecture. This is not theoretic.
Mm-hmm.
There have been studies done, and one was as late as last year on the importance of cursive handwriting at a very early age, because what it does is it actually fires certain neurons in your brain that are directly connected to a child's ability to learn the sensory motion in their brain of learning how to connect the dots when it comes to reading. So this is not an option.
Mm-mm.
This is like a mandatory thing. And so when you go back to a keyboard, you don't fire those same neurons.
Right.
And it's so easy now to look at something, not know what it is, type it in, Google it, do whatever. You don't have to sound anything out. You don't even have to know how to write the words anymore. So there is a very deep connection between handwriting, not typing or tracing letter shapes, but it's literally physical handwriting. The benefits of cursive writing, it aids to growing your neural scientific side of yourself, your brain, and it helps kids to functionally develop in their own brains, and that area that is directly connected to a brain wave in a pattern of what they call theta rhythm, and it stimulates the electrical activity in a particular area of your brain lobe and in your central region, and it actually fires nerves that will help you to encode new information. And therefore, it gives your brain this optimal condition for learning.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ain't ready for these sisters, but we're tuned in on the Recipe for Literacy in the Black community. I am Beverly Black. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure. That was Danny Smith Mathis, and we also have Kathy Wright Lewis. They're both educators. College from homeschoolers to all the way to college professors, educators, teachers. I say that because when you combine their education and their experience, it's not going to get any higher. These ladies are honorary PhDs in my eyes. Now, we are live on Tribe Family Channel. If you have any questions, be sure to call in 515-605-9351, or you can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. We will be right back after this word.
This holiday season, show your loved ones how much Black lives matter. Give them the gifts that reveal the real history and culture of living Black. Give them books that inspire, motivate, and inform. Give the gift of the written words from the Living Now Bronze Medal winner, Harold Michael Harvey. Give them the Harold Michael Harvey Collection, which includes My C.T. Vivian Story, The Duke of 18th and Vine, Freaknik Lawyer, and Justice and Around. Order some or the entire collection now to ensure delivery before the holidays at HaroldMichaelHarvey.com.
Hi, my name is Stacey Matt-Clam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymacclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacy Macclam. Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in live on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community in association with Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program. You can visit us at www.gumboforthesoulinternational.com. Now, getting back to the conversation, you dropped some gems on us there, Danny. Parents, listen, this is serious. Danny said it's simple, and I'm going to tell you, even though it's simple, it's serious because you can't allow your baby, even the baby, to just sit around and be dumbed down watching any old thing on the, like my father would say, the idiot box. That's what he called TV. And my mother kept a home full of books and encyclopedias. We had maps. We knew how to read and find our geographical locations from, you know, state to state and what have you, city to city, street to street. But the window of time for the neurons and everything to connect, that's a real narrow window of time, because by the time that baby gets to school, they're socialized with whatever you were teaching them at home. And if you don't think it's going to come out in the school classroom, I got another thing for you. You're fooling yourselves. It would behoove you to give your child the best possible start. We're going to discuss the ABCs of homeschooling, and it's for parents who just really want to give their child the best fundamental foundation they possibly can. As a parent of four myself, my recommendation is that you start while they're in the womb, the alphabet. They can hear you. Sing the alphabet. Read aloud. Speak clearly. And then also, parents, stop abbreviating and dumbing down communication. Please. It is imperative to be able to read and write. Sister Kathy said, how are you going to sign the back of your check if you can't do that? I say, how are you going to even make a check? So I'm going to return to my guest. Kathy, it is on you. Do you have anything you'd like to say in response to what Sister Danny just said, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, the neurons, the brain, connecting? Yeah. All right. Well, go ahead. You have the mic.
I love science, and I will never argue with that. With those, and like you said, they're not theories. This is actual. This is proven information. What I think needs to really happen is that the parents need to be educated, because when you don't know what your children are missing out on, you don't know the importance of it. So just her mentioning it, I think that, you know, maybe if we could just nudge some folks towards some places to look. There are articles from the New York Times. But you can Google cursive writing, you know, the benefits of cursive writing if you don't have a necessarily a book to read, and just read some articles online about them and how important it is. And find, especially if you're home, and you're coming up with your own curriculum, or look for curriculums on cursive writing as well, so you know how to teach it correctly. For the parents whose children are still in schools, and if they're not teaching it, our parents have the power. I believe that parents really need, they don't realize how strong they are, and if parents decide tomorrow that, no, none of us are sending our children back to school, it will completely destroy the school system, and they'd be forced to make some changes. So parents have the power. I think parents really need to make the schools understand this is what we want, this is what we demand. Because what's the point of stopping it? What is the point of stopping teachers from teaching cursive handwriting? You know, when you know that it's important, when you know what the benefits are. You know, so I think parents need to find their political savvy and find like-minded other parents and start making some noise about what they want for their children, and or start creating it themselves. You know, I think that the children, but see, test your children and see how different they are as you teach them how to write. The cursive writing is not difficult to do. They'll have a lot of fun doing it, and you'll see a change in their writing and in their memory skills. It also helps with memory. It helps to retain information.
Absolutely.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yes. Kudos to that. Now, parents, she just dropped a lot of gems for you. My response is going to be this. Realizing your power. Kathy just touched on the fact that the parents don't realize their power. So let me just,
Absolutely.
As a parent, yes. And so let me just say as a parent, your children even perform better when they see how hands-on you are. Don't be afraid of not knowing the curriculum at school that your children are being taught. Just get involved enough to understand whether or not that's the path for your child or not. You do have the power if you yourself would take it upon yourself to understand what your children are being exposed to. Now, one of my strengths as a parent is when I dropped my children off at school, I made friends in the front office. I went and spoke with the principal. I made sure that everyone was on the same page in understanding how important this child is to me. Because me as a parent, I am dropping off to this school, one of America's finest, and I am entrusting my child in your care. And we have to first
Amen.
Establish that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That
Absolutely.
Is your power, parents. This is your child you're dropping off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them keep it twisted around the other way around. And don't be afraid to remove your child out of a school. I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I went and sat down, and I had to let them understand that because of the way this situation is, I can't allow my child to stay here and fall through the cracks. I am the founder of a literacy program. So how do I look letting my child become less educated than when I brought her to this school? So we had that understanding, and I took my child out of school, and I also told them, but I'd be happy to come back and help you. I don't have to leave my child here, but I'd be happy to come back and help you straighten out your situation. Well, they invited me to chaperone their children to the California State organization where all of the student union groups were gathering from all the high schools embarking on Sacramento, and they had all kinds of speakers and workshops and college-bound students from their mm-hmm. high schools, and they gave us a full all-paid weekend, and I simply was there as a chaperone, and I did my job because I'm not scared of these kids. I raised four of them. So parents, it starts at home, okay, and then it works out. Finally, before I turn the mic over to Danny, another thing is check with your children about whether they're learning. If they're not learning anything new every day, that's a problem. Your child mm-hmm. spends all day at school and they're not learning anything new. You ought to be at that school every day. If the answer, I would ask my children, how was your day? Did you learn anything new, exciting, or special? And they knew they better have something to fill in. You can't say nothing, and you've been gone all day. So your child is your first job. Parents, your child is your first job. Make sure everyone understands that and get that understanding down inside of yourself and then work mm-hmm. outward. You can do this. Danny, Queen, I know you have a lot packed inside of a small package in this 1 hour, and there's so much we can continue to embark upon. But if you had mm-hmm. any responses for what Kathy had to say or what I had to say, or you want to start a new thread, feel free. You're our sponsor, and we appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate both of you, and you just really just reminded me of and confirmed so much. I mean, we are certainly all on the same page, and I was sitting here thinking, and that's the beauty of almost going last, right? You get to hear what everyone else says. And I used to never like to raise my hand first in class because I would always, unless I really like knew the answer, right? But the ABCs that I'm talking about, that you all are talking about, is this: A, accept the fact that your home is your school. Okay, mm-hmm. let's just say no one could ever go to school again. There really would be no excuse for not being educated. Your home is your school. You can teach so much in your own home: how to fix stuff, laundry, measurements, you know, getting out in the dirt, folding shapes, folding laundry into shapes, you know. Teaching about your family history, all the pictures on your wall or in your album or things like that. You know, I mean, you really don't even have to leave your home. Now, some parents are not in this position to stay at home and homeschool their children. Yeah. I get that. But at the same time, that brings me to the next point is B. We're talking about ABC. So for me, the B is be intentional about taking your rightful position as your child's first gatekeeper of education. That mm-hmm. is your rightful position. That is the position God entrusted you with. Sure. It is an issue of stewardship. It is not an option. It's almost like God said, you are the one that I want to use to show you where I have purposed, what I have purposed for that particular child for their life. That is an honor. We don't have to wait for another virgin birth. We are the virgin birth. Listen, God gave you a child. You brought life into the world, and that life has a purpose. You may not know it, but God knows it. And all we have to do is just be intentional about taking our rightful position as our child's first gatekeeper. The C in the ABCs for me is create curriculum. When you create curriculum, you create conversation. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, the other day, I'm homeschooling part-time my five-year-old grandson. Somewhere along the line, now at five, he has started to do deductive reasoning. And so he said, for instance, he thought
the cat was cute. I said, I don't think the cat is cute. Now, this is a conversation, right? But here's the curriculum. Mm. He says, then we disagree. Huh. So now we have a whole new word to discuss and a whole new concept to discuss, agreement. We break that down, and when you talk about dissing someone, what is that? What's the new vernacular for that? What's the new phrase for that? When you talk about agreeing with someone, you're together. There's so much you can break down in one word. And the last thing I want to say is this about, I'm going to go back to the cursive writing. I want to let everyone know there's this site called Spoke Online. And if you look at spokeonline.com and go to the importance of cursive writing, I would recommend everyone read that article, The Importance of Cursive Writing. It was published in April of 2020 by a woman named Eileen McManus. And it is a fabulous article on cursive writing. And I will leave with this story. My mother taught me penmanship at a very early age. By the time, before I was 5 years old, I knew how to write in cursive. And I know for a fact that my ability to write in cursive was directly related for me being able to recite an entire school play at age five. Because I understood words. And I could put together words. And it helped me to memorize things, right? And then I will also say this. There is an art to cursive writing, and there is also a profession in cursive writing. It is called calligraphy. So when you get those beautiful wedding invitations in the mail and you see that beautiful handwriting, that's because someone knows how to write in cursive. It is that simple. And I can tell you this. When I was a graduate student at the University of Southern California, my first job was to be the calligrapher for the president for his inauguration. And they gave me a stack of pages of that were, at the time, computerized, digital, right? We didn't have these laptops. We didn't have Google and Microsoft and all of that kind of stuff. We didn't even have that. They were still doing the dot matrix computerized, tearing off the pages from the computer, spitting out these pages of dot matrix addresses. And I took a whole stack of those over a month, and I wrote by hand the University of Southern California's president in 1981, I wrote every invitation for that man. It was a paid job, a well-paying job. So there's so much that comes from this, because handwriting is curriculum. You create conversation with curriculum. Be intentional about taking your rightful position as your child's first gatekeeper of education, and accept the fact that your school is your home. And that's what I have to say for tonight.
You expounded on Kathy's point when she said cursive writing is an art form. It's artistic. And then you tied it back to calligraphy, which is just the whole dance and marriage and dance of words. And it's a beautiful way to marry education and art. Art mirrors life. Now, Kathy, before you jump in here, I want to talk about what Danny was talking about, parents around the home. Your home is your first classroom. Okay, now you may not be able to do many of the suggestions that you heard here, but certainly, and one of my quotes back when I was home, at home, a home parent, I almost said homeschooling, but as an at-home mom, that's exactly what I'm doing. I got a quote that says, you can't do everything in one day, but you can do something every day. Now, I don't care if you have to flip your house upside down. These are your children. These are your babies. You can turn that whole house into a whole learning environment. Your kitchen, that's home economics. the laundry room, just like Danny was saying. You can fold clothes, you can teach shapes, there's round buttons, there's square pockets. You can fold towels into triangles. You can teach in your home. You can take, go to the Dollar Tree with a spare dollar and buy poster boards and write for yourself cursive letters. Write the cursive alphabet on one poster board. That poster board cost a dollar. A marker cost a dollar. $2 can actually transform one area of your child's life. Like our previous guest, Elise, said when we were discussing dyslexia. One of her points was you cannot read a cursive letter upside down or backwards.
That's right.
So that was her benefit. So you can teach in your home so many different things. When Danny mentioned outside in the yard, gardening, that's science. You can put beans in water in the windowsill and watch them sprout. That's science. So you got to get creative. Nothing's going back to the way it was. Our guest, Kathy, will have the final words before we close out on the subject of cursive writing, and then we'll go around and just give some final words and thoughts for parents. Go ahead, Kathy. Any final words on cursive writing?
Okay. Oh, boy, there's just so much. And I'm looking at the clock. The time is going. Cursive writing, I suggest you just get a simple marble notebook. They can get the poster and have it put it up everywhere and so that the child can sit down and open up their little marble notebook and just practice. My main suggestion for parents, first and foremost, please have patience because it does take time. And it's not going to happen overnight, but because it's an art form, you take one part at a time, you know, but be patient. Let them go and make the circles first and see the power, and it is powerful to connect one letter to another and not ever stop. And just that, just that focusing on that energy, it's a meditation. Really, you know, because they're not stopping it. The flow keeps going and going and going. It creates, so that's when the neurons are being fired up and things are sticking in the brain and it's opening up to new ideas. But it's because that connection is happening. So let them sit there and connect. It doesn't have to all be perfect right away. It's going to take a minute to get through the entire alphabet. So I say please be patient. Be encouraging, work with them. Don't just leave them to do it on their own. Show them, I believe in rewards. Reward them every time. This doesn't have to be a cake or a cookie, but just some praise for getting it right. And repetition is really important. It takes a minute, so they have to keep doing it. Just like practicing an instrument or anything else, you get better with practice. And the results are so wonderful. The last thing I want to say is that this dyslexia, I have a friend, I'll save this for the last part, because I have just some other ideas about how to deal with the dyslexia. But there are a lot of different studies that have been done on different types of testing and different suggestions that people are using that I've just learned about. So I'll share that afterwards.
All right. Well, you ladies have mentioned tools and resources that are definitely worthy of taking on. Spoke.com, ladies and gentlemen. Danny suggested Spoke.com, and Kathy suggested a notebook to write. Now, when Kathy suggested the notebook to write, it brought me back to mental health. And it also brought me to a point where I feel I need to mention this for the parents that are listening. Even though we may be talking about the early developmental stages of a child, early education, age-wise, these tools and resources can be applied to all ages. But when it comes to addressing mental health and Kathy, I can't even thank you enough for mentioning to the parents to be patient. And I want to say not only be patient, try not to be right all the time because you're not. The children are right also about how they feel, and you have to validate their feelings. You have to. It is imperative that you validate their feelings. That is part of their mental health and well-being. So let's go down that road in the last couple of minutes for my last take. I want to offer that I had scattered ages still at home, high school, middle school, and elementary school. And, you know, the natives were disgruntled, if not to say the least. You know, I run a tight ship. This ain't no game or no joke. the natives became restless and disgruntled, and I had them, going back to Kathy's notebook suggestion, I had these kids journal every day. They had to take quiet time and journal to get it out. You want your children to get it out. And you want to be available. You want to be right there by their side. You want to be communicative. You don't want to be over here on the phone while they're at the kitchen table doing their homework. You're not available. They can hear you in the background. Girl, I told him so-and-so and such and this and that. They don't need to hear the tea of adults talking. That's your time out of their earshot. Tighten up the home front and make it conducive to the children that you're raising. And look at them, figure out who that child is. That child has greatness planted down inside of them, and it is your job because they were gifted to you to figure out who that child is, what they're passionate about, what is bothering them in any given moment. You can have them journal. Give them consistency. Don't have them doing homework at 1 o'clock on one day and 5 o'clock the next day and all out of balance and sync. Organize your household where it's simple. You have 24 hours in a day. You can't tell me. Like I said, you can't do everything in one day, but you can do something every day. Okay, so now we're going to go around the room one more time. I'm going to my sponsor first. I want to thank you so much once again for your support, your input, and we're coming back on December 6th to make up for our show that we missed. We were going to discuss the ABCs of homeschooling, and we were going to have a special presentation from our sponsor about John F. Kennedy. And so I want to remind you, Danny, if you want to prepare anything for December 6th, or do you want to take a few moments now? But whatever the case may be, give us some final words, thoughts, and notes of, you know, mental notes that you may still have.
Well, thanks again. I've enjoyed my time with both of you this evening, and thanks so much for all of your knowledge, my sister and guest here this evening.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. It's really good, and I'm so glad that to have met you. And, yes, we'll be back on the 6th, and I do have a special segment that I wanted to share and apologize about the 22nd that I was unable to make it that evening, but which was the anniversary.
No apologies necessary.
It's all good. Anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination. But I wanted to focus on something there that was very, very instrumental in terms of my own life and my and something I found on the internet about my dad. And we'll go into to the whole education spotlight on that next Monday. But, yes, thank you this evening. I do want to share there is a gentleman by the name of Michael McHugh, M-C-H-U-G-H, and he has a handwriting series that's published by Christian Liberty Academy. He's got a whole series in handwriting. It starts with a book called In the Beginning, goes in, it's called God, Handwriting with Prayer, Handwriting with Power, Handwriting with Grace, Handwriting with Diligence, and it's all levels of cursive writing and building up to good levels of cursive writing and all the sensory exercises that go with that. So if you can look up Michael McHugh and go to Christian Liberty Academy and get his series, his handwriting series, I'm telling you, the parents can do that all day long. But if you just have to do it as part of an after-school session with your children, please feel free to do it. And that's my tip for the evening.
Now, where can our listeners find you online in this last few seconds that we have, being mindful of your and respectful of you, Queen's time?
Okay. Yeah, I am all things. I'm Danny Smith Mathis. It's Danny with an E, D-A-N-N-E. Smith, Mathis, M-A-T-H-I-S, like in Judge Mathis, no relation. But I am www.dannysmithmathis.com, and you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Instagram and at my website, Twitter, and Facebook as Danny Smith Mathis. Thanks again, Beverly.
It's my honor, and we don't know if you don't, you're not an heir to that Judge Mathis money. Don't speak so fast now. No, I'm just playing. It's an honor having you here and listening to these gems that you have dropped on us. Kathy, you, Queen, final thoughts, and I just want to quickly let Danny know we're very interested in hearing what you have to say and the tie-in with your family. And I just want you to know that Kathy here, oh, my goodness, this woman is a survivor of 9/11 out there in New York. She is a an educator about the ancestral burial ground in New York. There is so much to this sister that we have not delved into, but she will be on my show tomorrow on A Book is Born, and she will also be back in December on December 13th, where we're going to be talking about the ancestral burial ground. Tomorrow we'll talk about all these phenomenal books that she has. But I just wanted to let you know that. And, Kathy, I turn it over to you. Final thoughts, and where can our listeners reach you?
Okay. Well, final thoughts. Thank you so much, of course, first and foremost, for having me. I love you, Sis Bev, Queen Bev.
I love you, too.
Queen
my Dennis, pleasure.
Ms. Mathis, I appreciate you. I appreciate
Thanks,
everybody Ms. just for loving our community enough to want to educate families so that we could get back on the right track with our children.
Yes.
It's imperative. So I'm a lifelong learner, educator till I die, and after that as well. So I just want to say, well, there are so many things I could say, but one of the things I wanted to bring up real quick, how when they contest for different lenses that can help with if your child is dyslexic, they have dyslexia glasses and different different tints on them, and it's supposed to be that green tint that has the most favorable effects that really help to get rid of the dyslexia. So there are different people who have been looking up and testing out different ways of dealing with dyslexia. So that's also, you know, one thing I want parents to look into. I can't bring up everything right now, but I do want to tell you to look out for that. There's always help, so never give up. There are language disorders that sometimes we don't know our children have connected to the writing. There are so many different things that
don't, you know, if you feel like your child, I'll just say this, if you feel like your child is not doing something correctly, like everything else, he's wonderful, and she's a genius in this respect or that respect, but there's one thing that may seem off with the writing or the language, it's all connected, get it checked out, not necessarily special ed, but there are sometimes disorders that are easily fit if we know what we're looking for, okay? So I'll say that. You can find me on Facebook, KathyWrightLewis.com is my website. My writing workshop is Power in the Pen, www.org. I'm on Twitter and also on, what's the other one? All of on Instagram. So you can find me on there. But Kathy Wright Lewis, C-A-T-H-I-E. And thank you. I'm always grateful to have a voice that's being heard. Thank you.
Well, thank you, ladies, queens, so much. Kathy will be back with us tomorrow on A Book is Born. She will be also with us on December 13th to discuss ancestral burial grounds. And she will also be with us on December 28th on Voices of Wisdom. So we have the three-stop book tours available. Look at all of our social media posts so you can find out what we're doing today at Gumbel for the Soul International for Cyber Monday. There's a plethora of offerings that are all on our social media pages. We're at www.gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. We have four different anthologies that are available with open calls for submissions. And I do want to mention that Dave Chappelle's mother, Dr. Yvonne Sion, wrote the foreword for our second installation of Gumbel for the Soul, Women of Honor. Mm-hmm. We are honoring the women that made a difference in our lives while focusing on health, wellness, and the cancers that affect us. Also, Men of Honor, same thing, health, wellness, and the cancers that affect men. Suicide is not the answer. Called to serve. Service personnel, essential workers. It's all there, gumbelforthesoulinternational.com, and we have offerings for our publishing services. So look on social media, tribefamilychannel.com. Be sure to follow our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbelforthesoul, and you can always reach me at gumbelforthesoulinternational@gmail.com, on Twitter at gumbelforthesoul, everywhere else under Beverly Black, a.k.a. Beverly Black Johnson, CEO of Gumbel for the Soul Publications and Tribe Family Channel. This has been a blessing, queens. It is definitely imperative, like Kathy emphasized, that we steady ourselves because nothing is going back to the way it was. Get that straight out the gate right now. Okay, don't even think that you're marching into 2022 like it was in 2021 or 2020 or 2019 when this all started. Nothing's going back to the way it was. You have to find your new normal, and you have to definitely create an environment that is going to make your children feel even more secure in these uncertain times. Again, queens, I want to thank you for being my guest and sponsor on The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, presented by Tribe Family Channel in association with Gumbel for the Soul Literacy Program. Have a blessed evening and a most prosperous week, since this is the first Monday and the last, first Monday of the week, or first Monday, first day of the week, second day of the week, I'm sorry, but last Monday of the month. We are entering into new territory. Have a blessed evening, queens, and we will talk soon.
Thank you.
You
again.
Did the
good
same.
Night.
Thanks again.
Good night.
Great to
good
meet
night.
You. All right. See. Good night. God bless. On it.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Kind of love the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind, being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever, I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, you're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Class is online, gotta open up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.